Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Your fellow disciples of Jesus, I want you to take just a few moments to think about everything that you cherish about life. What came to your mind? I think very likely one of the things that we cherish is our families. And not just the people in our families, but how our family gets along, or maybe what our family has done or does do. We may cherish who we are, our personality, our talents, and our health that we have. We may cherish things that we own, such as our houses or our cars. We may even cherish the simple things in life, like the taste of your favorite food or being able to go outside and enjoy the weather. These are things that we can all cherish. This morning we heard the things that Paul used to cherish about his own life. He cherished that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and that when it came to following the law, he was basically faultless. He cherished that he was a Pharisee. But then later on, Paul mentioned that all of these things that he used to cherish, he now considers them rubbish. For what Paul cherished was knowing Christ and knowing the promises that God gave through Christ. And we can see that exact same attitude with Abraham. Abraham cherished God's promises. And as we study this account of Abraham's life, it will move us to cherish God's promises as well. By listening to his promises, acting accordingly to his promises, and trusting completely in his promises. So let's take a look at the promises that God gave to Abraham. I will make you into a great nation. At this moment in Abraham's life, he was 75 years old. His wife was 65 years old and she was barren. They didn't have any children. They couldn't have any children. But here, God promised to Abraham that he would make him into a great nation. God promised to Abraham that he would give him a son. Even though this didn't happen until 25 years later, Abraham listened to this promise, and he cherished what God had promised to him. But this isn't the only promise that God gave to Abraham. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Abraham was already wealthy at this time in his life, but God gave Abraham even more riches. He blessed Abraham because everything that he did, he was prosperous. God also made Abraham's name great. To many of the people in Canaan, they respected Abraham. They held him in high regard. Another promise that God gave to Abraham was this: you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Abraham was a blessing to others. People realized that everything that Abraham did was blessed by God. Therefore, there were even a few people that made treaties with Abraham. And because Abraham blessed them, they were now blessed. But Abraham was a blessing to the people for another reason. He was a blessing to others because of his testimony of his faith about who the true God was and the promises of salvation that God would give. And that brings us to the final promise that God gave to Abraham. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. How would all people on earth be blessed through Abraham? Abraham wouldn't travel to all the nations of the world to bless them. But But all the people of the earth would be blessed through Abraham because of one of his descendants that would come, and that was Jesus, our Savior. This was the promise that Abraham cherished the most. Even Jesus said this about Abraham. Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham rejoiced and he saw the day that Jesus came to be our Savior. And all people have been blessed through Christ. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. And not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, and he promises that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There are people throughout the world of every tribe, language, and nation that have listened to these promises of God, and they cherish the promise of salvation that they have in Christ. And that applies to us here in this area. It is God's promises declared to us through his word that God has created faith in our hearts. It is God's promises that has moved us to cherish this promise of salvation. And do not assume that we don't have to hear this any longer. We need to listen to God's promises. Take every advantage to listen to God's promise of salvation as he declares that to you through his word. For by listening to his promises, we will cherish what he promises to us. But not only are we to listen to God's promises, we are also to act accordingly to God's promises. Scripture says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. We need to act accordingly to God's promises. And let's take a look at how Abraham acted accordingly to God's promises to serve as an example for us. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. If you were Abraham, how would you have reacted to this? The Lord's command was not easy for Abraham to do. God told Abraham to leave his country. Abraham grew up in this country all of his life. He was familiar with this culture. And considering that he was 75 years old, he was probably not planning to move away from his country anytime soon. God told Abraham to leave his people. Abraham would have had friends and acquaintances in this area. People would know him. They would recognize him. But God is telling Abraham to go to a place where he will be a stranger and a foreigner to others. God said to Abraham to leave his father's household, to leave his family. Can you imagine how hard that would be? We know how important it can be to be close with our family, to stay in contact with our family. But Abraham is being told to leave his family behind, and he doesn't even know if he will ever see them or hear from them again, because he doesn't even know where the Lord is taking him. God is simply saying, go, and I will show you where to go. Everything in Abraham's mind must have been screaming at him not to obey this command, to stay at his country with his people and with his family that he cherished. But what did Abraham do? Abraham left, as the Lord had told him. Abraham took his wife, his nephew, and all of his possessions, and he traveled to the land where God led him. But why did he do that? Well, it's because after the Lord gave this command to Abram, he also gave Abram all of these promises that we focused on earlier. Abraham listened to those promises, and he acted accordingly to those promises, for he cherished what God had promised to him. God also wants us to act accordingly to his promises. Sure, he may not give us the exact same command that he gave to Abram to make us leave our country, our people, and our father's household. But Jesus did say this morning, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Jesus does not say, carry what's convenient for you or give up what you want to follow me. He says, carry your cross. Give up everything to be my disciple. And that can be very hard for us to do, can it? I mean, we may try to lighten the load that we have to carry to follow Christ. We may say, Lord, I will act accordingly to your promises and your will in this aspect, but in other ways, I won't do that. That doesn't work with God. When it comes to acting according to his will and promises, it's either all or nothing at all. Christ tells us to give up everything that we cherish to follow him. He tells us to even give up our families, even to the point of hating them, in order to love him with our whole heart. He commands us to give up our own health and well-being, our livelihood, whether it's our jobs or the money that we have stored up, so that we would trust in him above all things. Jesus tells us even to give up those simple things that we cherish so that we will cherish him the most. So how well do we do this? To carry our crosses and to give up everything that we cherish for him? Well, if we did that perfectly, we would keep the first commandment perfectly, which is to love God with our whole heart. And if we can keep the first commandment perfectly, we would keep every other commandment perfectly. But we don't act perfectly according to God's will and promises. These are the sins that we live in and the sins that we deserve to die in. How can we possibly claim to be a disciple of Christ? But remember the promise that God gave you. God did not promise that if you act well enough according to his will and promises that you have salvation. God's promise to us is that Christ perfectly acted according to God's will to earn salvation for us. Christ did not cherish anyone or anything more than God, not even his own family, not even the few possessions he had, not even his own health and well-being. For Christ carried a cross to be punished, to suffer and to die, to take away our sins. And that is God's promise to us, that Christ is our Savior. And when it comes to acting accordingly to his promises, to carry our cross for Christ, Christ has told us this: take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn from Jesus. He is humble and gentle in heart. And by learning from him, we will be motivated to act accordingly to his promises, for we have listened to what he has promised to us and we cherish his promises. But not only do we listen to his promises and act accordingly to his promises, we are to trust completely in his promises. Once again, let's take a look at Abraham and see how he trusted in God's promises completely. Abram traveled through the land. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Abraham acted accordingly to God's promises. He left his country, his people, and his family. But when he traveled to the land of Canaan, what did he notice? He saw that the Canaanites were all there. Can you just imagine what was going through Abraham's mind at this time? He might have been thinking, Lord, what's going on here? I have acted according to your promises. I have left everything to follow you. You have promised to make me into a great nation. But how can I become a great nation in a land that's already owned by the Canaanites? Abraham might have had a hard time trusting completely in God's promises. But God appeared to Abraham and he said, to your offspring, I will give this land. God promised to Abraham that he would still become a great nation and that his descendants would inherit this land. That's what Abraham needed. He needed God to appear to him and to give him strength to trust completely in his promises. And how did Abraham respond? He built an altar to the Lord and he called upon his name. To call upon the name of the Lord means to worship him. Abraham worshiped and gave thanks to God for all of his promises and for giving him strength to trust in those promises. We also gather together to call upon the name of the Lord. And as we gather together for worship, God will strengthen our faith in him and to trust completely in his promises. And we all need this. Because there can be times when it is hard to trust completely in God's promises. There can be times that we think that God has betrayed us, that he has backstabbed us. We may think, Lord, what's going on here? I follow you. I trust in you. I have faith in you. I believe that you have promised to bless me, but it doesn't seem like you are. I think we have all been there. But that's why God encourages us to come together for worship, to call upon his name. For there can be times when we have our struggles and our problems, but then when we come to worship, the theme of that worship service can deal directly with those problems. It can feel like God is specifically talking to you and your struggles. And that's because he is. Just as God appeared to Abraham and to give him strength to trust in his promises completely, God appears to us in word and sacrament to give us his grace and to strengthen our faith to trust in his promises completely. All praise goes to God for making us cherish his promises. Listen to his promises that Christ is your Savior. Take every advantage to listen to those promises every day. Act accordingly to those promises. Remember what Christ has done, and remember the promise he has given to you to help you to carry your cross for him. And even when that becomes difficult, call upon him. Pray to him. Gather together for worship. For here God will give us his grace and to strengthen our faith to trust completely in his promises so that we will cherish his promises above all things in our lives. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.